Aham, I. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When I first came to your home, I would have given you the supreme transcendental knowledge. But when I saw that your mind was absorbed in material things, I gave you only a son who caused you jubilation and lamentation. So this verse doesn't have a purport. So I'll go to the next ones. Next ones are three verses together, 21, 22, and 23. Just read them through, and then we'll discuss the purport. Adhina putrinang tapo bhavataivanu bhuyate evang dara griharayo vividhai sarja sampadaha shabdadayascha vishayash chala rajya vibhutaya mahirajyang balankosha vrittamatva surijjana sarvepi shureshenayame shoka moho mayartida gandharva nagara prakhya sapna maya manoratha. My dear king, now you are actually experiencing the misery of a person who has sons and daughters. O king, owner of the state of Surasena, one's wife, his house, the opulence of his kingdom, and his various other opulence and objects of sense perception are all the same in that they are temporary. One's kingdom, military power, treasury, servants, ministers, friends, and relatives are all causes of fear, illusion, lamentation, and distress. They are like a Gandharva Nagara, a non-existent palace, that one imagines to exist in the forest. Because they are impermanent, they are no better than illusions, dreams, and mental concoctions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse describes the entanglement of material existence. In material existence, the living entity possesses many things: the material body, children, wife, and so on. Deha patta kalatradishu. One may think that these will give him protection, but that is impossible. In spite of all these possessions, the spirit soul has to give up his present situation and accept another. The next situation may be unfavorable, but even if it is favorable, one must give it up and again accept another body. In this way, one's tribulation in material existence continues. A sane man should be perfectly aware that these things will never be able to give him happiness. One must be situated in his spiritual identity and eternally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a devotee. Angira Rishi and Narad Muni gave this instruction to Maharaj Chitraketu. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishthang Thapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Shagra Jatam Shahagana Raghunathan Mitam Swam Shajivam Shadvaitam Shabudhutam Purijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Mitam Cha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Dr. Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranam Mami Hari Priye,
বাঞ্ছাকল্পতরুভ্যশ্চ কৃপাসিন্ধুভ্যৈব চ পতিতানাং পাবনেভ্যো বৈষ্ণবেভ্যো নমো নমঃ। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য রঘুনিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাশাদি গৌরভক্তবৃন্দ, হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম 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 হরে।
হরে কৃষ্ণ। In the Vaishnav community, it is the custom that the senior devotee speaks and junior devotees listen. So, Jayadeva Maharaj is much more senior than I am. When I was swimming in Maya, Jayadeva Maharaj was serving Srila Prabhupada as a secretary. And so here, I first asked Jayadeva Maharaj to give the class today, but he insisted that I give. So sometimes senior devotees want that the junior devotees give a class for the sake of practice or learning.
With great respect, I want to make that research for the benefit of the devotees to keep things straight. The real reason that you're giving classes on the basis of Shastra conception. And the Shastra has said that one becomes senior by knowledge. So, age is another thing. So many people can come and spend their time and they will find that they're not going to get it done. But real seniority is by knowledge. And that's why that's why I'm so.
Anyway, I Hare Krishna. So, before giving the class, I would like to take the permission and blessings of Jayadeva Maharaj. Hare Krishna. So, King Chitraketu didn't have a son, and although he had many wives, but he didn't have a son, so he was very unhappy. And one day, Narad Muni and Angira Rishi, these are two very exalted sages, and they were also very good friends. Narad Muni and Angira Rishi are very good friends, and they often travel together. And so this time they're traveling together and they came to the palace of King Chitraketu. And when they saw that King Chitraketu was so unhappy, they asked King Chitraketu what was the cause of his distress. And then Chitraketu admitted that he was unhappy because in spite of having everything, he doesn't have any children. And as a result of that, his life has become totally vacant. Although he is a king, although he is very powerful, and although he has everything that a man can desire in this material nature, but because he doesn't have a child, because he doesn't have a son, a successor to his throne, he was feeling very unhappy. Then the sages blessed him that, okay, since you desire to have a son, you'll get a son. And at the same time, they also warned him that this son would be the cause of his happiness as well as distress. Will be the cause of his jubilation as well as lamentation. Now Chitraketu became very happy, and as a result of the blessing or the boon given by the sages, Narad Muni and Angira, they were, he got one son through his principal queen. The Kshatriya kings were allowed to have many wives, But out of them, one used to be the chief or principal queen, and who used to participate with him in all, he used to be his partner in all religious as well as social activities. Like a king and a queen used to sit in the throne in the assembly, and the chief queen used to sit there next to the king, although the king could have had many other wives. Now when this queen gave birth to the son, King Chitraketu became very happy, but other queens became envious because they couldn't tolerate that the king was giving so much care and attention to the queen that gave him a son. So out of their envy, they poisoned the son and killed the son. And after that, King Chitraketu became very, very unhappy. And at that time, Angira Rishi came. Did both of them come? Or Narada and Angira Rishi. Oh, I see. Second time, both came. I see. Thank you. So here it's a proof who is So King Angira, Narada and Angira instructed, they appeared at that time and told King Chitraketu, instructed him about the futility of material life. And before that, they actually brought the child back to life. But the thing is, the spirit soul of the child could not recognize which father Chitraketu was, because he remembered that he had many lives in the past, but he didn't have any remembrance, recollection of his father. Like, just as we forget our fathers we have forgotten our fathers about our previous lives, when we give up this body, also we'll forget about the father of this life. So in this way, King Chitraketu was enlightened by Narad Muni and King and Angira Rishi. And here Angira is telling that because he was still materially attached, actually they would have given Chitraketu the advice for spiritual progress, but at that time they did not give the advice because they saw that he was very attached materially. And when a person is so absorbed in his material attachment, he cannot understand the spiritual instruction. Therefore, it is important that one suffers considerably in this material nature in order to come to the spiritual platform. Actually, there are five considerations for initiation. One of the consideration is called tap. Tap means heat. And tap also means distress. So this consideration for initiation is that one must, usually that as a ritual, what is done as a tap is one heats up some sign, Vaishnava sign, like the sign of a tilak or such sign, or conch or lotus or disc or club, and then with those a stamp is made on the body. It's somewhat like a tattoo that they do in the West. But it is done with a red hot copper plate. So, at the time of initiation, the mark is given. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that aspect of tap is that one must undergo a considerable amount of distress in order to become eligible to get initiation. If one does not realize the miserable aspect of the material nature, he will not be interested enough for spiritual progress. So that is one important consideration. So here also we see that Angira Rishi considered that fact, that since Chitraketu was attached materially, material attachment means desiring to enjoy in this material nature. Desiring to have sense gratification for enjoying this material nature. But actually there is no enjoyment in this material nature. It is simply due to our illusion that we think that there is a lot of enjoyment in the material nature. In the Vedic scriptures, it has been compared to a mirage. The material nature has been compared to a mirage, and just as a thirsty traveler in the middle of a desert, seeing the mirage, may run after the mirage, but more he runs after the mirage, the more the mirage runs away from him. He never is able to quench his thirst running after the mirage. Similarly, we all are thirsty for enjoyment. Everyone is hankering for enjoyment. And in this material nature, we are running after the material objects for our enjoyment. Now, we are spiritual beings, and our real craving is spiritual, and that spiritual craving can be satisfied only through spiritual enjoyment. But forgetting that, we run after material objects for sense gratification, our real enjoyment. But no matter whatever, how much we try and how much we get, we are never satisfied. Our thirst for enjoyment is never quenched by possessing material objects. Just as one cannot satisfy his hunger by seeing the reflection of some food in a mirror, a living entity cannot be satisfied by indulging in material, so-called material enjoyment. Now, due to one's ignorance, one thinks that there is going to be some enjoyment, and he makes so much endeavor. Actually, it's very obvious in today's world, everywhere people are making so many arrangements, so many elaborate arrangements for sense enjoyment. Everyone is trying to be happy through material enjoyment, but we are seeing how dissatisfied people are. Of course, only only the group of intelligent people can understand that they are not satisfied. Others, those who are very unintelligent or stupid, they cannot actually realize that they are suffering. And that's why there is so much consumption of intoxicants. One is suffering, but they forget their sufferings by taking intoxication. They simply blur their intelligence by taking intoxication. If you cut the supply of intoxication today, in today's world, people will just go mad. I mean, it's only through intoxication that they are maintaining their so-called sanity. Because they're suffering so much, they can't, just like when someone suffers very much, then we give him anesthetics. The doctor, at the time of operation, because it's going to be very painful, and a person won't be able to tolerate that, he is given an anesthetic. And what does anesthetics do? Anesthetics just numbs one's perception, and he does not register the pain. And the anesthetics are toxins. Poisons are given in order to blur or in order to cut off his sense perception. Now, in a milder way, people are actually taking intoxicants. They are kind of anesthetizing themselves by taking these intoxicants. They are forgetting about their misery. And but those who are intelligent, they realize that how they are suffering. And an intelligent person naturally questions, I'm trying to enjoy so much. I'm making so many endeavors to enjoy, but still, why am I suffering? That is the first question that an intelligent person must ask, and in order to become qualified to enter into spiritual life. Sanatana Goswami was the minister of the King of Bengal, and at that time India was the most opulent country, and in India Bengal was the most opulent province. And Sanatana Goswami was the minister of the King of Bengal, the prime minister, the chief minister of the King of Bengal. And Sanatana Goswami gave up his service. Not only gave up, the king wouldn't, although he wanted to resign, the king wouldn't let him resign. He put him to prison to make him stay in his kingdom. But Sanatana Goswami ran away from the prison, bribing the prison keeper. And then after traveling a long distance from Bengal to Benares, which is about 700-800 kilometers, he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not only those days, people had to travel on foot, but Sanatana Goswami could not even take the main road. He had to take the forest path, because in the main road there was the danger of the king's man seeing him and arresting him. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami took the forest road through the mountains and hills. And then finally he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Benares. And his first question to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, who am I and why am I suffering? So this is Brahma Jigyasa, the spiritual inquiry. Like, unless and until one sincerely desires to know about his real identity, and unless and until one realizes that he is suffering in this material nature, he can't give up his material attachments and enter into the spiritual platform. So that's why the Vedas are giving the first instruction to a human being is Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you got this human birth, you must inquire about the Absolute Truth. And the Absolute Truth means, who am I, why am I suffering, and what am I supposed to do here? So unless and until one inquires, one begins that sincere spiritual inquiry, one cannot become qualified to enter into the spiritual path. So, that's why Angira Rishi did not instruct King Chitraketu about spiritual knowledge. Because the great elevated personalities can see the condition of one's, the state of one's spirit soul, how much covering one has. Through their transcendental vision, they can assess that. So, Angira and Narad Muni could recognize that King Chitraketu was not really qualified, was not quite ready for spiritual knowledge. So, he did not instruct King Chitraketu on spiritual knowledge. But he gave him a boon so that his desire will be fulfilled, but as a result of fulfilling the desire, he will come to his senses by realizing how miserable it is, how miserable this material nature is, and all our attachments, although come with a big allurement and a big promise for happiness and enjoyment, but in the long run, they simply become a source of misery. We desire something, like Chitraketu wanted to have a son, and when he got the son, he was very happy. He was very happy. But then, when the son died, then he was equally sad, equally miserable. So this is the material nature. To the degree we enjoy, to that degree we suffer. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Like somebody may think that he is going to enjoy by accumulating a lot of money. Everyone actually thinks in this way, in this world today. But when he gets the money, then what happens? He realizes that the money doesn't really bring him happiness, it brings a big headache to him. So in this way, one must be situated in knowledge and learn to become detached. And therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Rupa Goswami is glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikhattham Eka Kurusha Purana. In order to teach the science of renunciation, which is non-different from his own devotion. Science of renunciation is actually, is synonymous to devotional service. Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Virakti Annatra Chaikasha. As one develops one's attachment to Krishna, to that degree he becomes detached to mind. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came to teach us how to become detached. Teach us the science of detachment, science of renunciation. And unless and until we become renounced, unless and until we become our attachment to material nature, we cannot get the taste of spiritual bliss. We cannot make spiritual advancement. Therefore, it is very important that one learn to become detached. So, King Chitraketu's detachment, or rather King Chitraketu's attachment caused him so much distress that when Narad Muni and Angira came and gave him the advice, then he could understand. When you are suffering so much, he could understand that, yes, it's true, there is no enjoyment in this material nature. Or, my hunger, my thirst for joy will never be quenched by running after a mirage. On the other hand, the more we run after the mirage, the more frustrated we'll become. Instead of getting enjoyment, will become frustrated. But there may not be water in the mirage. And after running after the mirage, we may not ever be able to quench our thirst, but somewhere water must be existing. And by drinking that water, our thirst will be quenched. Since we are running after the mirage, thinking it to be water, the water may not be there in the mirage, but somewhere the water must be existing. So an intelligent person will stop running after the mirage and try to find out where the real water is. And in the desert, if somebody comes across somebody who knows the way and tells him, look, there is an oasis, why don't you come with me and you'll be able to quench your thirst, where there is real water. And if the person is intelligent and follows that person then he will come to the oasis and his thirst will be quenched. So, in this material nature, we are running after a mirage, and we are never satisfied. Our thirst is never quenched by running after the mirage. But then we come across somebody, and who tells us, why are you running after the mirage? Your thirst will never be quenched running after there. But come with me, I'll take you to some place where there is so much water that you can not only drink that water to your full satisfaction. You can even swim in that water, and you can even drown yourself in that water. So, and that is a devotee who comes and gives us the information about the spiritual. And in this way, if we follow the bona fide path of devotional service, then we realize that yes, there is a place where there is real enjoyment, and we can have so much enjoyment that we can literally drown ourselves in that ocean of enjoyment. So, Angira and Narad Muni gave King Chitraketu that advice, and he took that advice. He realized that there is no need to run after the mirage. Now let me try to prepare myself to go to the not even an oasis, but an ocean of nectar. And that is the spiritual reality, and whoever goes there, he experiences that bliss. And not only goes there, when we start our journey back to there, he experiences that bliss. And not only goes there, when we start our journey back to that ocean of nectar, and the person who leads us to that ocean, he also is carrying the nectar with him. And he gives us, we are thirsty, and he gives us some water to drink. And whenever we become thirsty, he supplies us, because he has a sack full of water that he is carrying in the middle of the desert. And this way our faith becomes stronger, that yes, since he has it, so he must know the place where it is available in abundance. And that's what happened to us. We were suffering in the material nature, and then somehow, due to our good fortune, inconceivably good fortune, and by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy, we came across the devotees of Krishna. And we got Srila Prabhupada's books. And when you read Srila Prabhupada's books, our conviction became confirmed, or we got to know how there is a place which is full of spiritual bliss, and how we also can go there. It's not very difficult to go to that place, and once we started our journey, joining the ISKCON in the association of devotees, practically at every step we are experiencing that joy. And that's why it is so important that we must distribute Srila Prabhupada's mercy. We have been saved. Now we have a responsibility to save others. And the best way to distribute Srila Prabhupada's mercy is by distributing his books. We may speak to people for hours together, but they may not be convinced. For various reasons. First of all, our preaching may not be that effective. Secondly, when we speak, people, they are not in the right frame of mind. We may think, we may be speaking to him with great conviction and profundity, but the person's mind may be somewhere else, and the sound vibration may enter from through one ear and go out from the other, if at all it enters. But when one gets the books, then we let Prabhupada preach to him. And Prabhupada is, of course, much greater a preacher than most of us. Well, actually all of us. And and then also when a person opens the book and starts reading, then his mind is completely focused. When we read, then it is just one-way traffic. Oh, another thing, when we talk, then we give him the chance to become argumentative. Then he may come up, he may not accept what we are saying, and he may argue. But when one reads the books, then he doesn't have any scope to argue. He'll have to accept. So it just enters straight into his mind. And then it makes a lot of sense. He begins to realize, it's true, every single sentence in this book makes so much sense. So that's why it is so important to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And of course, in Switzerland or all over Hare Krishna Maharaj's zone, you all have taken up this mission very, very sincerely. And that's why all of you are so happy, because that's what pleases Srila Prabhupada, and when Srila Prabhupada is pleased, then everyone is pleased. And because you are following Srila Prabhupada's instruction through His Holiness Hare Krishna Maharaj, Vishnupad, that everything is developing so nicely. And now the rest of the world also is realizing that this is the most important business we have, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And as a result of that, last year we actually took up this mission of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books as one of the most important, or rather not one of them, but the most important service, the most important business for our movement. And every senior member has been instructed that he should take up this responsibility very, very sincerely. And when books go out, then devotees will come. Because when books go out and people read, then they automatically will become interested in accepting Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any comment, Maharaj? I'll request Jayadeva Maharaj to answer this question. Oh yeah, right.
It's their misfortune on account of past impious activities. They're, even when they get it, they don't appreciate it. When they get it, they don't appreciate it. So we're trying to make them fortunate by giving them books, by taking contributions, by giving them prasadam, by giving them harinam. Somehow or other, trying to take the unfortunate people and make them fortunate. And it happens that somebody is refusing. The Prabhupada said that they'll see you chanting on the street corner and they'll say, "What is this nonsense doing?" And then because you're going every day, after some time they'll say, "Let me be nonsense like this also." There are a lot of causes. Vaishnava aparad, nam aparad, seva aparads. Generally due to offenses, guru aparad. Neglecting the orders of the spiritual master, especially. There may be different reasons. But Prabhupada said that if we strictly follow the four regulative principles and chant regularly 16 rounds a day, Maya will not be able to touch you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yes, Admitata Prabhu. Not that they have to suffer. They are suffering. Only thing is that they have to realize it. Like, you know, in other ages people had long time. They had long duration of time. And also the facilities for enjoyment was greater. They had, you know, long duration of life. They had robust health. They had, you know, very developed intelligence. But in the age of Kali, and they don't have any of these things. Their lifespan is short. They're mentally weak, physically weak, and being constantly harassed by the nature. So everyone actually is suffering, but most of the people in this age are so, you know, so unintelligent that they don't realize it. And mainly because the time, they're suffering so much and the time is so short that in this age we don't give them the time to go through the enjoyment. First of all, there is no enjoyment. If you consider what is enjoyment in this world today, intoxication and illicit sex, that's not enjoyment, that's suffering. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving it direct. Don't wait for them to enjoy. Like, first of all, there is no scope for enjoyment. At least King Chitraketu, he was a king and he could enjoy. I mean, his desire was not, you know, a very difficult desire. He just wanted to have a son. He already had everything. And they saw that just a few months and he'll have the son will die, and then, you know, like, he'll be completely prepared. So that's why Narad Muni, Angira Rishi, fulfilled his desire by giving him the boon. But in this age, we don't say, okay, first you enjoy and then you will come to Krishna consciousness. First you enjoy and then you suffer, realize how you're suffering, and then you'll become qualified to come to Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, we say that you are suffering, there is no enjoyment. Now you realize how you are suffering and try to come to Krishna consciousness. And the way is very simple. Now just chant Hare Krishna, take Krishna Prasad and associate with the devotees. So, a simple process of, you know, chanting, honoring Prasad, associating with the devotees, and hearing and chanting. Ultimately, just by the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna, one can become free from his material distress and be situated on the spiritual platform. Actually, real enjoyment in this age is in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we tell them that come and enjoy with us. You don't know how to enjoy, but we'll show you how to enjoy. Like, people actually, when they come close to us, then they realize that how we are actually enjoying. Like the other day in Durban, we invited the mayoress actually, she's a lady. And she came with her whole entourage and her husband. And the prasadam that we served, they couldn't believe it. And I mean, they appreciated the prasad so much that even a week after that, when they were having a meeting, you know, like she was having a meeting with, I don't know what meeting it was, she was telling everybody how she enjoyed her visit to Hare Krishna temple in Durban. So, intelligent people, you know, will see that we are actually enjoying. You see, we enjoy because we don't suffer from taking intoxicants. We actually, devotee, after join, when one becomes a devotee in Krishna consciousness, I mean, he becomes naturally very healthy. Because he eats the right way, he leads his life in the right way, and good health is so important. And the devotees are really enjoying. I mean, if at all anyone is enjoying in this material nature, then it's the devotees. You look at the face of those people and you look at the face of the devotees and you'll immediately see. Devotees look so happy. Their happiness, you know, make them so radiant, effulgent. Yes? Well, just by appreciating Krishna and his devotees, one derives spiritual benefit. Just that they are appreciating what the devotees are doing, they are making spiritual advancement. And that's called Ajnata Sukriti. And this unknown piety, they are not knowingly doing it, or they are not knowingly acquiring this transcendental benefit. But unknowingly, they are actually acquiring the transcendental piety. And as a result of that transcendental piety, they'll develop faith, Shraddha. And then gradually they'll join the movement. They'll become a devotee. Hare Krishna. Yes. Jayadismaya, you're going to take prasad now. What time will you be leaving? In 10 minutes. Okay. We'll finish the class by that. Hare Krishna. Yes, very good point. Yeah. Those who are born in Krishna consciousness, because they haven't suffered enough, they may not have enough faith in Krishna consciousness. That's what the point is. Yeah, that's why children who are born in Krishna consciousness, we have to give them Krishna consciousness so effectively that they don't have to go through the suffering themselves. They will see how the material nature is full of suffering. You see, experiences are of, you know, one can learn in three ways. You know the three ways. One is by hearing, one learns. One learns by seeing, and one learns by experiencing himself. Now, those who are most intelligent, they actually learn by hearing. So we have to teach our children, you know, about the suffering of the material nature by giving them good instruction. So by hearing, they will learn. But if we don't actually make them aware of the miseries of the material nature, yes, when they grow up, They may think, oh, after all, there is so much enjoyment in the material nature, so let me go and enjoy. Now, if that happens, that will be very, very unfortunate, and that's actually happening in many cases. But then also, still, one advantage is that they'll go there, they'll suffer, and then what? Those who have been brought up in Krishna consciousness from their childhood, Krishna consciousness has gone very deep in them, very deep in their heart. So they may go out trying to enjoy in the material nature and get burnt. And once they get burnt, then they'll immediately run back to Krishna consciousness. Come back to Krishna consciousness. It's happening. It's happening, like, especially in America, Ravindra Prabhu was working with many such boys who were brought up in Krishna consciousness but then left. And they really tried to enjoy but really suffered. And now they're coming back. But it's best is to give them Krishna consciousness in a proper way so that they don't run away. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the assembled devotees.